Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, your host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Voices. And today I'm really excited about having a guest that we had on previously. But when we did, it was regarding another beautiful talent that she had, regarding her ability to analyze handwriting and to see what the handwriting can predict in terms of health or wellness and any diseases that might be showing up. Her name is Sheila Neese. And before I get started with that, I do want to give credit to our beautiful music that we open and close with by John Spoon and his partner, David Fulford. They, again, I suggest you go to YouTube and look up their beautiful music. Serpens is the name of their group. It's Serpens, not like Serpents, but with it just an S at the end, Serpens. And the only one is there playing, and we appreciate their beautiful music every week. With that, I would like to bring on Sheila, who has been, she has a very interesting background. And she has worked with some of the top psychics in the United States. She had her own TV show on metaphysical aspects and on the UFO communities. And her connection to the field opened up her interest in the UFO phenomenon. And she's been researching ET information since 1980. And I could kind of talk more about it, but I really, I took one of her UFO tours for myself. And with that, I just really was thrilled with how she explained her background and how she came to start doing these tours in Sedona. I mean, people know that Sedona is definitely a place where a lot of UFO activity happens. And so she was kind enough to invite me and Jeffrey, my associate, to see what she does. And it was so exciting and enlightening. So with that, Sheila, I welcome you to Wise Women today, so that the topic we now can bring forward is about UFOs and your expertise in that field. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me here. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, well, I can't thank you enough for that wonderful UFO tour that we experienced. And it was so exciting. I was like a kid saying, oh, there's another one. There's another one. So if you'd be kind enough, give our audience a bit of a background like you did when we were on the tour, so that people have a kind of ground of being about who you are and how you came to be basically an expert in this field and being able to, you know, bring that knowledge forward into anyone coming to Sedona and taking one of your wonderful tours at Best Tours of Sedona. So please go ahead if you would.
Surely. Well, I will tell you that in 1980, I started creating psychic fairs in the New York area. And basically, what I will say is that I was very fortunate. I had great psychics who gave readings all day. And then I also had lectures going on all day and vendors who sold crystals, metaphysical books, things of that nature. A couple of weeks after I started, I received a call from a person named Timothy Green Beckley. And he said, Sheila, I actually sell UFO magazines, and I would love it if you would allow me to rent a table at one of your fairs. So I told him pretty much immediately, you know, UFOs are not my thing. Now, this was 1980, and in 1980, the policy of our government was as such. They said it was absolutely impossible that anybody else was out there, because this planet's in an area where it's way too hot, this planet's in an area where it's way too cold, and this planet obviously has no water, so it's absolutely impossible for anybody else to be out there. And I believed that. Again, this was 1980, and UFO information was, let's put it this way, not regarded as anything really scientific. So I told Timothy, you know, it's not my thing. However, I thought about it for a second and I said, people in the metaphysical field are generally more open-minded than the general public. So if you would like to come this weekend, and if you do well, I'm more than happy to allow you to come to future functions. He did so well that he actually said, I want to go to every single one of your fairs. And he started doing that. Now, what I will say is that one day after I was packing up, after a psychic fair was over, he actually came up to me and handed me a book. Technically, it was a manuscript. But anyway, he said, you know, I just got done writing a book and I would love it if you would critique it for me. I said, sure. What's it on? He said, UFOs. What do you think I'm doing here? And I actually told him honestly, I said, you know what, Timothy, I really thought you were selling comic books here. Well, he looked at me like I had five heads and he said, why in the world would you think that? And I said, well, you know, there's Batman, Spider-Man, and you had some little green guy with two big black bulgy eyes. Of course, I thought it was a comic book.
Oh,
that's what it looked like to me. But I was happy he did well. So whatever people got from that, I was happy. Well, with that being said, he handed me his book and he said, listen, I think you really need to read it. And you know what? He was so right, because in that book was actually a very simple concept that I'd never thought of. And this is what it was. It doesn't matter if a planet is basically in an area where it's too hot on the outside or too cold on the outside, or the outside doesn't have water, because people can live inside of their planets where it's nice and cozy. And you know what? Then it rang a bell, and I remembered my good old history teachers talking about cavemen. We had people living inside caves in our planet. Cliff dwellers were living inside cliffs. And I don't know why, but it was almost like a light bulb, you know, brightened up in my brain and told me, you know what? Maybe Timothy really has a point. Maybe people live inside of their planets. Well, I read the book in a day or two. It was so fast because it was so terrific. And I saw him the following week at the next psychic fair that I held. And I handed him his book back and I said, you know what? Now you have me totally hooked. So what do I do to find out more information about UFOs? And he said, well, the first thing you could do is join an organization called MUFON, which stands for Mutual UFO Network. And he informed me that it was the largest UFO network actually in the entire world. He said that there are meetings that continually go on in most major cities, so I can look them up and join the meetings. Then he said you could buy more books on the subject. And then I found out, hint, hint, he had written a few before that. So I guess he was referring to that. And then he said you could go to UFO conferences. Now, this was 1980. People thought you were a total nutcase if you believed in UFOs. The government had been saying for years this. Definitely no one out there. It's impossible. So I was in shock when he actually said that there were UFO conferences. Typically for conferences, you need a lot of people to go to be worthwhile putting the conference on. But but in 1980, I actually worked for the airlines and I was able to fly free anywhere in the world. So I flew to every single UFO conference there was. I actually bought so many books on UFOs. I have more than the Sedona Library where I live.
Oh, my goodness.
And when everybody else in my neighborhood was a soccer mom, I always kid people, I was dragging my kids to UFO meetings. When it came to doing this, I will just say that I lived and breathed everything UFO for the next few years. I found out once you start in the UFO field and go down one rabbit hole, there's 400 rabbit holes right behind. And so the next few years, I lived and breathed UFO information. But in 1988, my husband said, you know what? It's getting really cold in New York. How about if we move to Florida? Now, that was an easy yes for me because actually my parents live down there. But of course, the first thing I had to do was find the local MUFON meeting. But I found out it wasn't that local. It was about an hour and a half away. So I did my research and found out that in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, there was actually a lady who was holding UFO meetings at Denny's. I thought it was so funny. You can get a Grand Slam breakfast and a UFO meeting at the same time. But anyway, so I went to her meeting. The first time I went, I was surprised. I was sort of shuffled into a back room where the meeting was going on. I was in shock because there were about 60 people there. And again, this is now around 1988, where it was still not a respectable thing to believe in UFOs. So to see so many people, it was a big surprise. But I slid into the back of the room, and basically, I will just say that the lady in charge gave an excellent presentation. When she was done, however, she had a question and answer period. She knew most of the questions, or the answers, I should say, to the questions, but not all of them. And whenever she didn't know an answer, I would raise my hand and she would call on me. After that happened 6, 7, 8 times, I don't really know the count, someone from the front of the room, some guy turned around, looked at me and said, "Who in the world are you? How do you know so much?" So I told him my background, and basically the next thing that I know is this. He said, "Well, the head of this meeting actually has been wanting to retire for a long time, and we've been looking for another leader. I want you." And then, wow. Then we had 59 other people chanting, "We want you, we want you." So I ended up actually running my own UFO tours at Denny's in Fort Lauderdale for several years. And during that time, I kept on going to the conferences. I was fortunate to rub elbows with people in the Secret Space Program and became the Florida director of the National Investigations Committee on UFOs. So all I could say is I've been in this field for a while.
Well, that's certainly, when I took that tour with you, the whole evening was just so rich with one story after another and insights. And just to kind of give people a little bit of understanding, explain what we were viewing with those binoculars.
Okay. What it is what I have are military grade 3 night vision goggles that will allow you to see 100 times more than the naked eye. You can really see so much up there. And I think just by the fact that you see so many stars, et cetera, would allow people who are skeptical about people being out there in the world to look and think, with all of these stars and things out there, probably there's at least one other race out there.
But yeah, to me, it was always, excuse me, but there's a little logic here. I mean, for us to think we're the only existing life form in the whole universe? No, right. I don't think so. Right.
I know. So anyway, I will say the night vision goggles, in fact, they are so powerful, I am not allowed to take them out of the country. They are actually considered weapons because if you are in a war, those are what you use to be able to see your enemy. So I signed my life away when I bought them.
Wow. And they are expensive.
Yes, they are. They're quite expensive. But I felt worth investing in the best ones to give people the best experience.
Well, you know, and once you explained what to watch for, I mean, I have seen with the naked eye quite a lot just from my own backyard in Rimrock. And, the distinction between what would be an airplane and what would be a UFO made a lot of sense. And once you know those distinctions, it's actually, pretty easy to even see, some with the naked eye. However, with the goggles, and then you had the little laser pens, and, to actually see them connecting with us. You said, you know, if they see the laser, they will flash you, do a high five to us. And there was a good number of UFO ships that did that. And that was a lovely confirmation, you know.
Well, you know, I just want to share that when it comes to our space brothers, they really do want to connect with us. And when they see us using the lasers, basically, you know, it doesn't happen every single night, but I've seen it very, let's put it this way, a lot during the years that I've been doing these tours. But that is their way of saying high five. They will do what's called power up. They'll brighten up their ship. They'll brighten it up once or twice or three times, whatever. And then they go back to just going steadily. You know, I call it flatlining, where they don't flash, but they really do want to connect with you. And I think when people have the experience of basically seeing a ship brighten up to say high five, I always think, you know what? United Airlines never flashed me at all. You know? So obviously, guys, we know that is not a regular airplane that's up there. So
yeah, for sure. And then, of course, when your explanation at the top of one of the mesas, there is no way for people to get to the top of that. There aren't roads or anything else, and to see the ships up there, clearly, you know, that they were on the top there and coming and landing and leaving. So, you know, all of that was a very exciting confirmation to be able to see that. And of course, now in the news, there's a good deal of talk about disclosure and your accounting of how long this has been going on. I believe in the 1940s or 50s. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, this is what I will say. When it comes to what's been going on, actually 300,000 years ago, we had people who took over our planet. And these beings were not on a high spiritual level. They do not have, even though they can look like us, they don't have souls like us, so they don't have compassion, et cetera, et cetera. And they have been running our planet till this day. But things are changing, as you know, since you were on my tour.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because little by little, we are eliminating these beings from the planet, or they're in Gitmo or Guam or other prisons around the world. But because they don't have souls like us, their goal is really greed, money, power. So that's what's been going on for many years.
Domination. Oh my God, you know.
But again, things will be changing. We're going to actually be, I feel, the first generation who will finally meet our space brothers. They've been very anxious to meet us. And the reason why they never landed in mass was simply by the fact that they knew that the beings running our planet had told us through generation after generation that there's no one else out there. And therefore, they knew it would really freak us out if all of a sudden they landed. So what they have done through the years is this. Instead of coming here openly, they all use cloaking devices, again, not to freak us out. And if any of you have heard of The War of the Worlds by Orson Welles that happened on October 31st, Halloween of 1937, Orson Welles was a very well-respected radio broadcaster. And he thought, just for this Halloween, just for fun, that he would actually make believe aliens had landed. And he announced at the beginning of his show that this is just for fun, but not everybody tuned in at the beginning of the show. So unfortunately, some people who tuned in the middle thought it was for real, because he was always well respected, and they jumped out of windows. They actually committed suicide.
Isn't that something?
I know. our space brothers, knowing that, and even previous to that, had that feeling that would happen. That's why they have never connected with us directly, because they didn't want that to ever happen. So what they've done through the years is they actually have chosen certain beings on this planet. They are able to tell even a mile away how spiritual someone is. And they, through the years, have chosen certain special people who are open-minded, typically who were part of their specific, planet history. And they've chosen these beings to share information with them. And then these beings will do videos, et cetera, and go to conferences and lecture about things. But obviously, they only attract the believers because, again, this is a way of getting the information out without forcing anyone to believe in something they don't believe in. So it's been really terrific, because I know little by little, more of these, what they call contactees, have come out and shared information.
Well, I shared with you that night, and I've never shared with my audience or, many of my close friends or family, because, of course, my family thinks I'm way out there in outer space anyway, but I've shared parts of, I had a transmission years ago that lasted 6 hours, and I was shown a lot of techniques on how to regenerate your body and how to heal your body, which I can't say I was disciplined enough to have done everything they told me to do every day. But I will say, at the end of that transmission, I was on a spaceship myself. And that was, the last part of it. So I don't, I don't know if I was actually, and that was a long time ago. Two things that took me out of that experience was that when I was on the spaceship, I'd already been divorced from my wonderful former husband, Doug Cronin, but he was not there with me. And then the other thing that I was very afraid of was I was actually on a train going from Mexico to California with a kind of wild person who was a healer. And there was a train wreck in front of us. We were in the middle of the desert somewhere, and we were stopped dead. And I don't know, I think that was all divinely orchestrated somehow. And I felt very honored and privileged to have had that experience. Because there were no interfering frequencies at all in the middle of somewhere in the desert. But because I was experiencing all of these extraordinary things that they were telling me, I was laughing just this childlike laughter, and I was afraid that when I opened the berth that I was in, where I was having this experience, that they would think I was crazy and put me away. And so fear and attachment took me back into like third dimension. But now, as you're talking, I have to consider the fact that somehow I was given that privilege to see what they had told me. And perhaps I should spend more time with you.
Well, I will say this, that unfortunately, our government has sort of promoted negative beings. Like, when people talk about beings out there, whatever, they always put fear in us. But actually, I've been very blessed to have had friends who have been contactees. And one story that I thought was amazing was this. First of all, I want to tell you that many people have had experiences of people from other planets visiting. They'll just be in their room. They have the ability to actually go through walls, et cetera, and they've healed a lot of people. But this one particular person, who I thought had an exceptional experience, was a person who actually was in Germany at the time. And she had beings that came into her room. And basically, what they did is they actually, infused her brain with so much information. And what she said was they try to do this by your pineal or pineal gland, which is your psychic center. And what they did is they actually downloaded a lot of information. Now, she was in med school at the time in Germany. And the next day she goes to school and she knows the answer to everything, to the point where her teachers said, this is impossible. And she skipped 2 years of med school. They actually decided she was too smart. She didn't need to go to all of the classes. And she, to this day, is like a walking encyclopedia with medical things. And what she ended up doing when she, her life changed a little bit. She ended up opening up a health food thing online. But it was amazing because she said it was the very next day where all of a sudden all this information came to her. She got 100 on every single medical test there was. And that's when her teachers said, you're too smart. You could skip this grade. And I've never heard of anyone skipping a grade in medical school, let alone
for sure.
You know.
Wow. Well, they didn't quite give me that. But maybe I could ask. Oh my gosh. But it's something that I think I wish it didn't, for the most part, make us strange to people, but that's still, I think things are changing. And the acceptance of these kinds of experiences are, Ancient Aliens definitely brings a lot of wonderful information forward. And I understand that John Bradshaw, who, I did the biography of his father, Bob Bradshaw, and several other books, and was in partnership with John with some projects. And he was recently interviewed on one of the segments, because the Bradshaw Ranch, as you well know, had a lot of activity there. And both John and his brother Scott had some unusual, and even Bob Bradshaw talked to me, even though we didn't put it in his biography. I don't know why, but he and his wife Linda wrote Merging Dimensions with Tom Dongo, right? Wasn't that who she wrote that Merging Dimensions with?
She probably did. I actually, it's funny because years ago when I came to Sedona just as a visitor, not as someone living here, I actually took Tom Dongo's UFO tour.
Oh my goodness. Well, because Bob told me that they could hear drilling underneath their house. And his wife, Linda, did capture some photographs of ETs, and they saw telephone poles or electrical poles, something, things that were not actually there in third dimension, but they saw them. And Bob was as dyed-in-the-wool, conventional cowboy kind of guy. He was not someone that was susceptible to fantasy. Let's put it that way.
Well, so when the beings who I spoke about came to our planet 300,000 years ago, because they knew there were fewer of them than the good guys on this planet, one of the first things they did is they started building underground. We have underground tunnels, underground bases, underground cities. There's even an underground train system that goes as fast as airplanes. We have a lot of things going on under our feet. So Timothy Green Beckley actually, or is it Beckley Green? I always flip it over. But anyway, he was right when he gave me his books and said people can live inside of their planets. So we have people living underneath us, above us, and you know, what you're saying is actually obviously confirming that. So did they get that on a regular basis or just at one point in their staying at that house?
No, they heard it quite often. Mm-hmm. But certain incidents occurred, you know, just once. But I know that Scott, the, you know, Bob's son, had, because the, you know, the ranch was like 90 acres or it was maybe 180 acres at one point. And when the, you know, the boys were young, they, you know, they had full range of the, you know, they had a life that they worked very hard because Bob was a hard taskmaster. I mean, they worked hard as children, but they were driving, you know, their tractors and vehicles around at the age of 7 and 8 years old. And they would go out adventuring into remote parts of that ranch. And at one point, I know that Scott saw like a trap door going somewhere underground. And so he got out, and then all of a sudden there were military and told him he had to leave and kind of, you know, scared him. So I know that story was another one that was, you know, something told many times, but, you know, it's, some people say, well, a lot of what we viewed, was actually our own space, you know, space, programs that are also up there. Is that true?
Yes. There's a lot of stuff going on all over the planet. And let's see, there are holographic things projected at us. We really don't even know, I would say, a tenth of the technology that's really out there. We haven't been aware of it. A lot of things have been held secret. And obviously, I know that you know about med beds. I don't know if you've spoken about med beds on other shows.
If I did, it was only touching on that.
Okay, because I really am so waiting for this technology that actually has been hidden from us for many, many years. The elite on our planet have used it. They also used it in the secret space programs around basically in our solar system. And just so people know, it turns out we're going to be going into a whole new era with medical help. And this is what it will be. So there are, at this point, I was told there are med beds that can heal anything. And there are three specific med beds. Med bed number one can heal any disease. It can also regrow anything that was taken out of your body, like if someone's missing a kidney, a gallbladder, et cetera, it will be—
Or even a leg or an arm.
Right, and that's it. It will also actually regrow legs, arms, anything that was cut off your body.
Yeah, teeth.
Yes, teeth, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, I know for many people, this sounds really fantastic.
Right.
I've been fortunate to, be acquainted with Captain Randy Kramer, who actually was what they call a super soldier on Mars. He lost his arm and leg. And if you saw him now, you'd never know. He's completely back together. And I was told that you actually heal very, very quickly. Now, for people who don't know what a super soldier is, it's basically our government has ways of enhancing people genetically. So these people, you know, run faster, they're smarter, you know, they're stronger, they're able to do a lot of things that other people can't do. So he actually moved from Mars to Sedona, which I thought that was exciting. And I will tell you that he is not the only person who I've known who has been in a med bed, but med bed number one not only can do all that, I know it can actually regrow teeth. You can get a whole new set of teeth, I was told, in 3 to 5 minutes. Really anxious to get these med beds real fast. I need a lot of dental work.
Yes.
And then med bed number two actually heals people emotionally. And I always, you know, it's very disappointing because now in our lifetime, I know so many people on antidepressants. And
My God, so many people, you know, friends of mine that I didn't know that they were on such meds. And then, you know, I find out sometime later, and I'm shocked at how many people are on these kinds of meds that are not good for you. Yeah, go ahead.
So med bed number two supposedly has the ability to actually take out all the negativity from someone's emotions. And basically, people are then, you know, naturally happy again. You know, we have a lot of things that are in our foods that unfortunately are not healthy, as you know.
And, yes.
You know, and that also takes away your energy. And without energy, you're depressed, et cetera. It's a vicious cycle. So med bed number two will actually help people who have depression issues. And then med bed number three, and I always tease because this is one I'm really waiting for, actually can regenerate every single cell in your body. People who are 35 to 40 years old will never, ever have to look older than that. People who are older like myself can be regressed. I was told at least 30 years. Oh, that'll make me happy. 30 years is fine. And, and what I will say is that when it comes to, again, this sounding so sci-fi, Randy Kramer is technically at this time, I think he told me a couple of years ago he was 95, so he has to be 97 now, and he looks like he's in his 40s. You know what I mean? So it's almost, and I do know people who, again, have gone through these med beds. And let me tell you other things that it gets rid of, because I think this is really terrific. First of all, gets rid of addictions. I wrote some things down. Allergies.
Well, addictions are so often there because of an imbalance in the brain, in biochemistry of some, you know, addictions happen because people are trying to feel better. And they use things to try to feel better. And so if the med bed can correct those imbalances, then there won't be a need, you know, for things to compensate.
Right, exactly.
Now, and by the way, that was also what I was told in the transmission, that I would live to be hundreds of years old, which, of course, when I came back into third dimension, I thought, oh boy, they'll really think I'm crazy, you know. And that was in 1986, Sheila.
Oh,
and so I've carried this, you know, underpinning foundation in my life all these years. And of course, you know, of course, my family thinks I'm absolutely the most bizarre, weird thing. And, you know, I've decided I probably, I just don't fit in that family, and I can't cry about it anymore. You know what I mean? So it's just that in a certain way, those of us that know these things, it's kind of a lonely path. In a certain way, because even people that we know that are close to us, you're in a different position because you surround yourself with people that are in the same mindset. Your profession now on a certain level with your tour companies, you know, have, and then I have two close friends who were abducted, and, you know, I can talk to them, but, you know, it's kind of at this moment still a rather lonely path, and I don't want to feel like I want to convince anybody. I just don't.
I surround myself with people who are more believers. However, I'm still friendly with people from elementary school, and they are not believers. And so they say, you know, we know you're a little weird, but we love you anyway, kind of thing.
At least they love you anyway. I'm not sure about my family. My family probably just thinks, you know what, let's get her out of our family.
realize, which I realized a while back, you know, ever since you were a kid, it was not accepted. It was, you were told there's no one else out there, So let's say in this world, even just 50, 60 years of brainwashing, there's no one else out there, no one else out there, no one else out there, for someone else to come along one day and say, oh, yes, there is. Well, you have to erase 50, 60 years of that.
It's very difficult. It's shocking. It shakes the whole, and I have compassion for people. And I understand that because, you know, I mean, I know we've had this conversation. I've certainly talked about it on my other shows. You know, I mean, I was a precognitive dreamer. I was weird from the get-go because, when I was a child and I'd dream a dream and the next day I'd be, it was like, you know, coming attractions of my life. So of course that started me on a quest to say, well, what the heck is reality? What is reality? If I'm dreaming last night, what I'm experiencing today, of course it, you know, and who could I talk to about that? Nobody in my family, you know?
But you know what? David Grush actually in June of this year just recently came out on News Nation. He's supposed to be high intelligence in our government. And he finally said, well, guys, okay, the truth is we've been lying to you for all these years. And actually, there are people out there. And we have ships that we have found through the years. And basically, he came out with the truth of what's been going on. So now people are sort of, wow, what's going on here? But I know that there's always an agenda connected to things. But what I will say is it exonerated me. I don't know if it happened with you at all, but from some of my friends and also family members who, again, didn't think I was in my right mind believing in UFOs and aliens. But I have him to thank to actually finally have someone high up who other people would believe more than just little old me doing UFO tours here. So,
you know. Yes. Well, I have another friend who is very much in connection, you know, with the military and such. And he knows that the military has been using med beds for a lot of the, you know, the fallen soldiers that, you know, have had terrible, you know, arms and legs lost and that sort of thing. And so he said that, you know, the military has been using, you know, the med beds for soldiers that were hurt. And you know, so he holds, you know, that kind of recognition as one of my very close associates that I actually introduced to my family. And my family was like, who is that? You know, so whatever.
Something that I just found out recently, I was really excited about. It turns out I found out when you go into a med bed, and again, I was also told that med beds evolve, they're still evolving. In other words, I now was told that they have one med bed that does it all, whereas it used to be three separate med beds. But I found out you can actually ask when you go into a med bed to be programmed to know certain languages.
I would so love that because I was so angry with my family because my grandmother and my father, they spoke Italian and they didn't teach our generation because it wasn't American. Then I go to Italy and I'm talking baby talk because I couldn't speak Italian. And I'm so Italian, you know, it's like, I want to speak Italian, you know, not just buonasera, buongiorno. And then, you know, my grandfather, I remember, managgia, che tappos, che diablo, tutta la California. Why he ever would swear that way. he always added, in all of California. I don't know why.
So what I was thrilled about that, because let's face it. Well, it was funny because I used to be a high school Spanish teacher.
So, oh, you're kidding. Learn more about you.
That's what I have my master's degree in. But what I will say is that I studied in Spain as an undergraduate for a semester. And this is what I learned. Just, let's put it this way, just by the fact you know one language, for instance, I met a bunch of people from Italy actually there, and they didn't speak English, but they spoke Spanish. So you can, once you know even one language, it connects you to so many more people because
they
don't know English, but they know Spanish, and then you can communicate. But I'm a little rusty, obviously, because I haven't taught in many, many years. But but it's, to me, it was great being a flight attendant. And I would go around to all these countries with dictionaries, you know, with the language that they spoke. So all I could say is that I can't wait to be able to be downloaded with different languages.
Languages. And then I want to be able to play the violin.
And I'm
studying piano right now, but I'm so, you know, I'm not very vigilant about it, but I just know that, I know how to do that, you know. And there's the performing part of me. I was given so much grace and so many gifts and talents this lifetime, and I want to express them, you know.
Definitely. You know, I haven't heard anything about that, but I did hear also, if you want to change your hair color during, you know, before you go into the med bed, you talk to the person in charge, tell them what color hair you want. Even you can change the color of your eyes. Could you imagine? And this technology, again, has been around for such a long time, hidden from us. And
yes.
Obviously, you know, the things that I'm talking about now are frivolous compared to people who lost arms and legs.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you how our life will be once we've been in the middle of a war, and a lot of people don't know that. And once once this war is over, we're finally going to get these technologies. And from what I understand, you know, people on other planets don't have money. Money was eliminated many
years. Yeah. Oh, you know, it's one of the great evils. God knows. Oh, and then one more thing. You know, I really shocked my family. I probably shouldn't have done what I, sometimes I, because I'm so annoyed with their inability to understand at all, and or even have an interest in who I am, right? So I told them, you know, that I was going to rejuvenate myself. And I'm not even waiting for the med beds. I'm using every other technique that I know, because I was shown certain things. And I really think that we can get in touch with our own, you know, that junk DNA. I'm trying to activate it and rejuvenate myself, because I, even way before all of this, I was already involved with other, you know, this sannyasin that I went to Mexico with. He had a technique from the yogis that, rejuvenated your body 30 years over a month's period, but it kind of was a little bit dangerous, he told me. But bottom line is, I told my family, I said, I'm going to have a baby. And they were like, sure you are. You're the oldest one in the goddamn family. You know, like, so I don't care. I'm going to do that. I am going to do that. So,
well, I will say that also, when you go, from what I understand, when you go to the MedBed Center first, you know, they sort of scan you, and then they tell you what's what, and then they speak with you because they want to know what level you are, because there's a consciousness that is connected to these med beds. I was told also they need to be a certain width. They're supposed to be very big rooms that you're in, and there has a, it's a special material that actually has to be put on these walls to be
effective.
To be effective. And
I didn't know that.
thank a person named Sky Prince, who actually was a super soldier in the super soldier program of our government. And she's come out with a lot of these things. And I will say that, again, there is a consciousness that is connected, you know, with all of this.
Right. And that's what I've been working on really hard, because, and it's, you know, what's hard is that I know that this is part of my soul's mission. I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I was so privileged to have that, you know, that transmission, that download. And, but yet it's hard for me sometimes to hold, you know, my mission, so to speak, without, you know, that little girl part of me that's insecure, and it's, you know, it hasn't served me probably correctly. I know, you know, there are times when I'm this warrior woman and I'm like, get out of my way. I'm doing this. Nothing's going to stop me. But then I get, you know, weak sometimes, and I don't know what to do about that. So
I think we all have that, you know, we have, let's see, the good, the bad, the ugly time, you know, the times where, you know, we don't feel as powerful. But obviously, you're just a strong lady and you're busy like crazy. I don't even know
how
to play piano. And, you know.
Yes. Let's do one more thing, Kathleen. Put another thing on your plate. Oh, my God.
Another thing that I want to share with people is that when this war is over, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but I do know people on other planets do not work. People on other planets, they don't have a money system. They do what they love. That's what we're meant to be living in, a planet like that. Yeah. But so many years we have been ruled by people who are not compassionate. So I know there will come a time, I don't know how long down the road, that we will actually get to that.
Yes.
All those technologies. In fact, I was told there's over 6,000 technologies that have been hidden from us that could actually change our lives. And
I'm hearing about the replicators that can make meat out of stem cells so that we don't have to kill animals and, you know, all that stuff.
The replicator machine, when I saw a video of it, I was, you know, really in shock, because it can take anything, because everything has atoms, and it can rearrange the atoms to make anything else you want.
Yes.
To have that kind of technology will be incredible. People on other planets, actually, they don't have pollution because they have these machines that don't use anything that will pollute their atmosphere.
Wow.
So I know that we're coming into a much better place.
Yes.
And I also know that with the med beds, theoretically, that's going to be free, from what I understand.
That's what I'm hearing too.
Free health to imagine.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I was told they will first take the people who are on, life support, to put them in the med beds first, and it will be an order of necessity. And which obviously, you know, is very practical. But I was told that the military, just what you said, is already using them. However, I was told that our space brothers were the ones who have been training them, and that when this war is over, we're actually going to be meeting our space brothers at that time.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yes, those are the ones still, you know, training people. And I was told, in order to work, I was told that, you know, there'll be a lot of training involved, but the majority of the training will be in consciousness and getting people.
I don't want to get into that in this call, but I'm actually part of a proof of concept study that I will tell you after we're done with this, but this group is a completely altruistic group it's not about the money, but I get concerned because I know, because I really was intensely involved with the consciousness game in the 70s. And, you know, I did all kinds of things that most people, and I was, when I get into something and get immersed, I mean, I'm like 1,000% in it. And it, I know the importance of getting our heads straight. And I know the importance of having other people around you to help empower that aspect of yourself. Because when you can join with somebody else and be aligned with that, it just really does make all the difference. And, you know,
and could you imagine, you know, also, again, we've been brainwashed, you know, you have to be doctor, lawyer, whatever, you have to make a lot of money. That's what makes you important. And when you don't have money anymore, what's important is really people giving of themselves, you know, coming from the heart. And that's what it's all about. I mean, like John Lennon said, yeah, all you need is love. Well, maybe the whole band said that, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I mean, I've been accused of being codependent. I can't help it. My nature is that if I'm a codependent and if people are going to keep taking advantage of me like they have my whole life, I'm sorry, but I can't change my nature. That's the way I am. You know, there was a book called The Kin of Atta Are Waiting for You. And it's all about taking care of each other. They didn't eat themselves. They fed the other people. And when I read that book, I wanted to go live in that book because it was such a beautiful way to be, you know, with each other. And so, you know, I mean, it almost gets me emotional about that, but, you know, it's difficult because, sometimes, you know, you feel strange. You feel like, you know, there's something wrong with you to be that way. Right. So, you know.
And I was told also on other planets, they are brought up with just like that, helping each other, always being everybody. It's a community. The whole community chips in and helps people. Whereas our planet, we are brought up to compete from day whatever of your elementary school, you know. Parents are still saying you have to get it. You have to be the best in class. You have to.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I won every contest that there ever was in music and drama and whatever. But when I was competing, it was never about beating somebody else out. It was just my own desire to be as excellent as I could be. There's a big distinction. But you know, this planet is about, well, kill them. Let's kill them. You know, I have friends that were, you know, involved with, hell, I was married to a football player, you know, with the Redskins, you know. So that mentality is dominant. And I know that all of this it has to come into a new paradigm for all of us, you know.
Definitely. And so again, I was told that people on other planets are brought up to actually help other people.
Yeah.
And also, there are galactic federations out there in the world. And I know when they meet, they all share their new technologies. So,
how about that?
I know, whereby our government doesn't even share it with us.
Right.
And I think, thinking of it in a way mathematically, it's almost like, let's say we have 10 planets in our solar system. And I say, let's say, because I know Pluto was downgraded, they're switching planets around, you know, but let's say we have 10 planets. Okay. I'm just using that as an example. And let's say the 10 planets each found some new technology and they shared. So all of them are 10 times more ahead than we are with technology.
Yes. Yes, I know. Well, the technology is telling us that we're out of time. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm afraid we might want to continue this another time. How about that?
Okay, sounds good.
And, you know, tell people how to reach you because our viewing audience, please, you know, very quickly, how do they take a tour with you?
Okay, well, all you have to do is go online to besttoursofsedona.com. So BEST, besttoursofsedona.com.
And you'll never be the same. All right, with that, I'm going to wish everybody have a wonderful week ahead. This is Kathleen Francis signing off for Wise Women. You all have a wonderful week ahead. Bye-bye.